This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, June 4th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. New World Screwworm found in Texas. Ag appropriations bill teed up for floor and Iowa elections. A case of New World Screwworm has been found in a three-week-old South Texas calf, USDA officials confirmed yesterday. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins told reporters on a press call that the agency is establishing quarantines, movement controls, and surveillance in a 20-kilometer zone around the detection site near La Pryor, Texas. She said it would be immediately deploying 4 million sterile flies to the area through ground release chambers, in addition to the 4 million sterile flies it already drops aerially over the region each week. It's the only U.S. case of the flesh-eating pest the agency is tracking right now, and the only one that has been confirmed, she said. The House is poised to vote today on an agriculture and FDA funding bill that backers say ensures critical investments in research, rural development, and the health of plants and animals. Total discretionary allocation for the fiscal 27 legislative package, which also includes the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, is $26.3 billion, 1.4% below the 26 enacted level, that according to House appropriators. The House Rules Committee Tuesday teed up the bill for a full vote on the chamber floor. Massachusetts Representative Jim McGovern, the panel's top Democrat, assailed the legislation for cutting food aid programs, including women, infants, and children. This bill also cuts conservation, rural development, clean water, broadband, energy, and small business support, he said. It slashes Food for Peace, a life-saving program that feeds people facing famine all around the world and supports American farmers here at home. The legislation's amendments include a measure that would bar the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture from funding painful research on dogs and cats. Another calls to transfer $2 million from the USDA Chief Information Officer to APHIS Port of Entry Inspections for New World Screwworm. A melding of economic, farming, and political influences makes America's top corn and hog state the place to watch this election season. Election forecasters from the nonpartisan Cook Political Report say Iowa is a poster child for the national political tension between President Donald Trump's low approval ratings and deep-rooted partisanship. In bad news for established Republican candidates, Representative Randy Feenstra on Tuesday lost his bid to be the GOP nominee for Iowa governor despite an endorsement from Trump. MAHA-backed Zach Lahn instead will advance to the general election, where he faces what's expected to be a tough race against the Democratic nominee, State Auditor Rob Sand. Democrats are also hopeful about yesterday's win for State Representative Josh Turek to be their party's pick to run against Republican U.S. Representative Ashley Hinson in the race to fill the Senate seat being vacated by retiring GOP Senator Joni Ernst. Hinson is a strong candidate who has amassed a formidable war chest, but the environment in Iowa, quote, is an increasingly favorable one for Democrats, given the backlash to tariffs and rising fuel and fertilizer prices as a result of the Iran war, said Cook analyst Jessica Taylor, who shifted her rating on the race from likely Republican to lean Republican. Iowans have favored Trump in the last three presidential elections, including by a 13-point margin 2 years ago. If you want a reliable gauge of the size and scale of the blue wave, especially at the federal level, stop obsessing about Maine and look to Iowa, Cook analyst said. A decent-sized wave should be enough for Democrats to win at least two House seats. But it will take a much stronger one for Democrats to defeat the well-funded and politically proven GOP Senator nominee Ashley Hinson, or to flip her open eastern Iowa House seat. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. During June Dairy Month, and especially today, National Cheese Day, it's worth pausing between bites to appreciate the quiet powerhouse that turns Midwestern milk into mortgages paid, schools funded, small towns kept whole. Cheese manufacturing has become one of the most important economic engines across the upper Midwest dairy sector and a cornerstone of the broader U.S. dairy economy. Roughly 90% of milk produced within the upper Midwest federal milk marketing order is processed into cheese, which is to say, in our corner of the country, milk grows up and gets a job. That's why Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative is committed to advancing policies that strengthen American farms, sustain cheese production, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Visit edgedairy.com to learn more about the power of cheese. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The American Farm Bureau Federation's biennial Advocate, Cultivate, Empower, the ACE Summit for Women in Agriculture, wrapped up yesterday after 3 days of networking, leadership, and education for about 500 attendees. This year's summit highlighted the International Year of the Woman Farmer. I know it fills my cup so much to be at gatherings like this among people who are positive and innovative and trying to learn more and to grow and to do better always. That the word of Kathy Byrne, CEO of the International Fresh Produce Association. The results for the National Women in Agriculture Study were also debuted yesterday at a conference session. The Small Business Administration has approved 19 loans totaling more than $30 million during the first month of its new 90% Grocery Guarantee Program. The early uptake, quote, shows lenders are responding to that agenda by moving capital into businesses at the heart of our food supply chain, said Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler. By supporting more investment in production, processing, and distribution, this program is strengthening rural America, reinforcing food security, and supporting lower grocery costs for working families. The 90% guarantee exceeds the standard 75% backing available through SBA's flagship 7A loan program, giving lenders greater incentive to finance food sector investments that expand domestic food production and distribution capacity. You can listen to Loeffler discuss the program at a recent AgriPulse Newsmakers episode. It's available at agripulse.com. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is weighing how to structure a board intended to handle trade relations with China. The agency is seeking suggestions on how it should implement a new U.S.-China Board of Trade, as well as comments on potential modifications that could be made to tariffs on, quote, non-sensitive products, according to a press release yesterday. The agency will accept comments through July 10th and rebuttals to those comments through July 27th. Here's today's final word. We will continue to try to flood the zone with as many sterile flies as we can until we have confidence that we've knocked it down. That the word of USDA Undersecretary of Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Dudley Hoskins, on a call with reporters yesterday about the new world screwworm. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, June 4th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Ballard.